and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your financial support. On this edition of the program, I'm speaking with Lee Ritenour. You'll find him mainly in the world of jazz, with around 35 or so albums just under his own name. Also as part of the GRP All-Star Big Band, the group 4Play, and other projects, including his work in helping Pink Floyd, or rather specifically David Gilmour, at a point when he was absolutely stuck, trying to figure out what to do at a point in one of Pink Floyd's most well-known tunes. First, looking at Ritenour's 2024 release alongside Dave Grusin, Brazil. With Brazil, we go into it with one translated as cloves and cinnamon. Upbeat strumming, then a lead over that, then thicker textures, then one of several guest vocalists coming in, Tatiana Parra.
Yes. Okay. Tatiana, I'm married to a Brazilian, and Wes, my son, is the drummer that plays in my band and other people's groups, and I invited him to play on the record, and he said, no way, Dad, you have to call this drummer Edu Ribeiro. And we called Edu, and then we'd already made plans to go down to Brazil to record with all the Brazilian musicians. And so between Wes and this other guitarist singer who's on the record, Chico Pinheiro, they recommended most of the players on the record. And they recommended, it was actually Wes who said, call this girl Tatiana Parra, Dad. You know how all the young folks are, everybody's online all the time and checking everything out. And he said, check out this girl Tatiana Parra. And I didn't know her, and Dave Grusin didn't know her. And so we took a chance and called her, and she just ended up being incredible. She could sing anything, and she was just incredibly versatile, and she ended up going on tour with us in Europe already. And I compare her, when Patty Austin was a session singer in the early days, she worked with Quincy, and she worked with us, and she worked on all the movies and all the record dates and with Simon Garfunkel and all those people. And Patty could sing anything. And Tatiana is the Brazilian version of a young Patty Austin. And so it was so nice to have her on the record. And then we added Chico Pinheiro, the great Brazilian guitarist singer, and another great guitarist singer, Celso Fonseca, and of course our friend Yvonne Lenz, who we've known for many decades, and Dave and I worked with him on the album called Harlequin in 1985.
Gotcha. I remember that album actually very well. Wow.
Yeah.
That opening track, it translates to cloves and cinnamon. And this is such a feel-good song, but my understanding of Portuguese relies on the words which are similar in Spanish, and that doesn't happen often enough. So this is such a feel-good song, but I have no idea what's being said, and I really feel like I need to.
Well, it is a Milton Nascimento tune, and the tune has actually been around for quite a while. We ended up doing a couple of Milton Nascimento's tunes, and another one of the great writers, Caravento, is another song on the record from him. And Cravo e Canela, the clove and cinnamon, the translation of the lyrics is interesting. It doesn't totally make sense in English when it's directly translated. That's the funny thing about Portuguese and melodies, and why jazz musicians and instrumental musicians have gravitated so much to Brazilian melodies, because the melodies that they sing are similar to the melodies that we play as instrumentalists. And that doesn't happen with every culture. Even American music, you take a famous Bob Dylan tune, or take a famous Beatles tune, or Simon and Garfunkel, or Joni Mitchell, not always are the melodies designed to be a great instrumental melody. Some melodies are, of course, but not all of them. And the Brazilian songs translate very well to the players. I think that's why the early days in the 60s, that's why The Girl from Ipanema was such a big hit, because Stan Getz, the great saxophonist, was able to just play these beautiful melodies around the vocal melody. And we've kind of continued that tradition with Dave and I when we did Harlequin and a number of other albums, but especially the new one, Brazil.
Yes, indeed. And this one, again, I love it through and through. It's a wonderful mix of songs and then some wonderful instrumental tracks as well. Speaking of which, For the Palms, I'm not sure if this is the next one, but was this one by chance titled first and then written? You know, I know that's often not the case, but it feels like it could be. Maybe the title is forcing me to picture something.
story on this song is actually, specifically the title, is kind of a serious subject. In 2018, my wife and I, who live in the Malibu area, we lost our house and my studio with about 100 guitars to the Woolsey fire.
Oh my God.
And so now we are rebuilt and we're back in the house, but it took over 5.5 years and it was quite a journey. And I'm sitting in my new studio as we speak. And thanks to the insurance company and all the people that helped us, we were one of the ones that were able to rebuild and did good. But we were at a rental house and I was preparing for this record, Brazil. It was a nice day, and I was outside on a lounge chair, actually laying down, and I had an acoustic guitar in my lap, and we lost a number of palm trees in the fire. And my wife was in the chair next to me, and she kept complaining about the fact that, you know, we lost the palm trees, and we had to destroy a few other palm trees because now the new codes for rebuilding the house, they couldn't be that close, et cetera, et cetera. And so she was going on and on about the palm trees, and I ended up writing this tune while I was laying down in a Chase lounge. And this tune just came to me from the very beginning to the very end. And for all the songwriters out there, you know that most of the time we struggle with the verse, the chorus, the bridge, and the section. And especially if we're using computers and music software these days, then it gets even more complicated. And sometimes writing a tune can take forever. Once in a while, a tune appears almost from beginning to end in a matter of minutes. And this was one of those tunes. And that's why it's so special to me, because it was no doubt in dedication to these beautiful palm trees that we had to disappear from the property. And it appeared the whole time my wife was talking about the palm trees. And I later checked the tune and I said, well, something's got to be wrong with it. I got to change this or that. And then I realized, I said, no, it's done. And so when that happens for a songwriter, that a whole tune is written in a matter of minutes, it's like so very rare. So that tune holds a special place for me.
Oh, incredibly so. That is really, really cool. You know, I'm sure much of the time when you're writing, it is the melody or maybe some sort of a hook or a phrase that may indeed often come first. But for an album like this, where you're focusing on, for the most part, Brazil, did any of the tunes start off with a rhythm? Let's say a complicated Latin-based click track, and you just played to that as the vehicle for the creation of the song.
Well, in the case of this record, normally that would be the process, especially for me, since I'm into all the music software and the computers and all the goodies that go along with that.
Yeah.
You know, there is a tune on the record called Little Rock Way that was written that way, with the beat sort of in mind and putting up some sample Brazilian rhythms and then me writing the tune to it. Stone Flower is another Antonio Carlos Jobim song that is a tune that we've been playing for years. But Dave and I did a little demo at my temporary studio when we were putting the record together. And even though the tune was already composed, we approached it for this record was slightly different. And so that was another example. And then Catavento was another old tune of Milton Nascimento's. And again, that was approached the same way, where we did a little demo to get an idea of how we'd show the musicians what we wanted. Once we got down to Brazil and we were introduced by my son and by Chico Pinheiro and introduced to all these wonderful Brazilian players, it was like the rhythm section started and Dave and I were in heaven, because we didn't need any computers and we didn't need any music software. It was like, you know, all these great players had this great feel and rhythm, and they were all the best of the best of the pros in the studio. So it just all came together very naturally.
Incredible. You mentioned Stone Flower. This is perhaps my favorite track on the disc, this new album, although that's so subjective. But interestingly, that this being a Jobim tune, this is another one that doesn't necessarily scream out Brazil, sambas, Latin rhythms, although it actually does.
That's right. You're absolutely right, in the sense that it's a little more progressive tune, and it's a tune that, I mean, I think it's the longest tune on the record, too. It's like close to 6 or 7 minutes.
Yes, indeed.
And we were able to use it as a vehicle for Chico Pinheiro, for him and I to trade guitar licks, and for Dave to stretch out. And it's a great rhythm for our percussionist that was on the record, Marcelo Costa and Bruno Magato on bass and Ada Rivera on drums. And again, they had such a strong heartbeat rhythm, and then we were able to kind of put the jazz over the top of it. So it's a very fun track.
Totally. And it has the feel of any great guitar-led jazz tune. Again, not necessarily something that would need to be on a Latin-based or, an album called Brazil, for example.
That's right.
Were you actively trying to make sure to break up the sound of, say, the songs on here, which some of them may be akin to a Brazilian folk tune, so we're looking at different sounds to break it up, or is this just how it happened organically?
It's kind of organically happened this way. Like for the Palms that we were talking about earlier, the Jazz Waltz, that really does not have a Brazilian feel on it, but it had such a connection to what we were doing at the moment, it ended up on the record in a very nice way.
Perfect.
And then Stoneflower was a tune that Chico Pinheiro and I could stretch out on together, and then we ended up doing his tune, Boca de Siri, called Keep It Quiet, and that's his tune that he sang on. And then there was another writer, that Celso Fonseca, that I loved, and then of course Yvonne Lenz. We had to invite Yvonne because we were so close to him and love all his songs. So it was kind of a very organic album in the way it happened. It was just a very natural process, and the record was not hard to do. And we ended up even later and overdubbing him, inviting the harmonica player Gregor Moret. And he's really sort of the heir to the great Toots Thielemann that played on so many earlier Brazilian projects and collaborated so much with all of us, but especially with Quincy Jones. And so Gregor has taken over that slot. So he was a great sound to add on the record as well.
Oh, most certainly. That's a nice feature. I think he comes up on, three or four tunes, but it was something that I would notice here and there. Never the dominant thing, but rather another texture folding in nicely. So really cool.
Exactly.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Lee Ritenour for this edition of KVC Arts. Back to the program in just a bit. Find many past KVC Arts through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. The KVCR Spring Membership Campaign only runs April 7th through the 13th, possibly going to the morning of the 14th if we need to. At this point, let's just recognize that we have a ways to go and need your help in getting there. Listener contributions go to our operating budget, making up a significant portion of the funds we need to bring you, All Things Considered, Morning Edition, Fresh Air, and many listeners don't give, knowing that the other 2 out of every 10 listeners will take care of it. It's a very realistic possibility as well that some or even all funding for public broadcasting could be severely cut or even stripped away entirely. This is the time to help. Please give your support. And whether it's a one-time gift or setting up a sustaining membership of $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, thank you for doing your part. Give at kvcrnews.org/support or call 877-512-8843. Again, kvcrnews.org/support or by phone 877-512-8843. Back to KVC Arts in just a few moments. Back now with KVC Arts, I'm David Fleming in conversation with jazz guitarist Lee Ritenour, one of my favorites for decades. A little bit later in the program, Lee talks about something rather cool he did with Pink Floyd, kind of bailing them out of a musical tough spot. First, though, back to his 2024 release alongside Dave Grusin, Brazil. Another one that you mentioned, Caravento, translating to pinwheel. Now, I will never tire of hearing where titles come from, especially in the case of instrumental music. And this title intrigues me because I'm not sure if I can visualize that, a pinwheel. So I love the tune, though, so I really have to know, Lee. Where does a pinwheel enter in the inception?
Well, Dave also did a version, I'm not going to remember on which album, but Dave Grusin did a version of Caravento on one of his earlier albums. way back into the 70s, predating, I think, or maybe at the beginning of the GRP days. And so it is a Milton Nascimento tune, one of the great, great Brazilian writers. And so we would actually have to go back to the Portuguese lyrics, and we do it instrumentally, this tune.
Yeah.
And we'd have to probably ask Milton or the lyricist about the title, why it ended up this way. But it's a very fun samba that we ended up sort of contemporizing a little bit.
Oh, without a doubt.
Achar a solução para esse jogo.
Another fun samba. With, now I'm talking about My Crooked Samba. Who's the vocalist on this one, please? I'm working without liner notes.
Yes, this is Celso Fonseca. This is an artist who is very famous in Brazil, and he does travel internationally and does a lot of shows in Europe, occasionally in the U.S., but not as much. And again, I had heard this tune of his and just fell in love with the groove on it and thought it was such a nice tempo and approach for Dave and I. We have to work more with Celso because he's really just on this one track, and it's one of my favorites on the record.
And I have to ask what My Crooked Samba is, whether it's, you know, we could be talking about rhythms or quite literally a dance, or maybe this is my cool, personalized, My Crooked Samba.
I think that's what he meant, because it's got his kind of groove, you know. And the funny thing is that the Brazilians are always listening internationally. The songwriters and the artists are listening to everybody else, and we're listening to the Brazilians. And in this case, you can see Celso Fonseca's, because I think this tune goes back a number of years, too. So he slowed down the samba. Usually the sambas are a little faster, like Caravento or Close to Cinnamon, but his tune has got kind of that more contemporary jazz and kind of slower, almost R&B-ish, but his Crooked Samba, you know, so I think there's a little twist of humor in there where it's his version of a samba, which is a little slower and a little more groove-oriented.
Closing track on Brazil, and again, my God, this is so fantastic, through and through, taking a person up and down, and a really nice flow. It's just a great organization, and I appreciate sequencing, too. I've never been one of those people that goes for track 3, 7, and 9, and that's it. But Canto Invierno, Winter Song.
Yes.
This is something I'm quite guilty of asking too often, but I don't think I'll stop. At this point, did you have a collection of tunes, you know, and then chose this one, this would be the one with which to close, or by chance, a case of having the album together and then realizing, wait, no, I need a good closer, and then that's where you got Winter Song.
Well, in the case of Dave Grusin, Dave brought this tune in. It's his composition,
okay.
Canto Invierno. And we did two classical crossover records in the early 2000s. And one of the albums was called Two Worlds. And then there was a follow-up album as well. And it was with chamber orchestra and with some singers like the opera singer Renee Fleming. And so Canto Invierno appears on, I believe it's on the Two Worlds album, but it might be on the second album. But anyway, it goes back that far. And Dave came to me when we were putting this record together. He says, I've got a little different groove on this old tune of ours, Canto Invierno. It's his tune. And I said, oh, okay. And so he played it for me. And I said, oh, that's nice. Let's work on it. And we did. And it ended up having a slot on our new album. And it's such a nice tune. And if you dig up Canto Invierno on the earlier classical record, you'll see a very different treatment of it. And Dave was able to turn it into a slow bossa for this album, and it worked beautifully.
That's another one that I'll be tracking down very shortly after we hang up. Just a fascinating album through and through. And it's a great way to close. It leaves us in a good place. Not down, not up. Reflective doesn't quite cut it, but it's a great one. So I think I just wrote myself an edit point. I mentioned closing with that, but there is a glaring thing on my notes. If you could please just talk briefly about the wall. I mean, you even playing on it. So, I mean, how did you get the call? Surely to God, Gilmour didn't say, I can't do the solo. I need Lee Ritenour. How did this happen?
Well, the producer on that record, we had worked together on other stuff, and they were such a great band, and they were obviously doing 95% of their own work most of the time. But occasionally they would, you know, especially for a project like The Wall that they worked on for years, they didn't mind taking the time on eight bars that were over in 30 seconds, but they would spend 2 weeks on those eight bars, making sure they had the right sound, the right flavor, the right context. And so the producer had called me before to work on some stuff, and they needed to put some acoustic guitars together on one of their tracks. And so he called me and said, Lee, would you come down and join us? I said, of course. I go down there, and they're working on another brick in the wall. And he says to me, we just can't figure out the last few bars of the solo. The whole solo on Another Brick in the Wall is a very short solo anyway, but they were concentrating on how to get out of the solo. And they said, we promise we won't use any of your playing on this particular solo. It will be us, but said, can you just try some ideas just to give us some other thoughts? And I said, yeah, sure. So I tried to match his sound a little bit. They punched me in, and I played a number of things for about 20 minutes. And they said, okay, let's move on to the acoustic guitar stuff. And then we did that. And so a year later, when the record came out, I was curious what happened with the end of that solo.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was not me on the solo. It was him. But I felt like maybe a couple licks I had influenced them a little bit. So that was fun, the fact that maybe I had a bit of influence on the way they finished that solo on that record. And then we played some acoustic guitars on one or two other tunes. And it was nice to be part of this, such an incredible album.
And this is where Gilmour got stuck. He'd gone all the way up the fretboard and couldn't really go higher. Right here. And Ritenour just brought it back down. Lee, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. Just for context, I have to let you know that when I was entering into the world of public radio as a young man, a student at a public radio station in Kentucky, and this is my introduction to jazz fusion in the latest part of the 80s into the earliest part of the 90s, I was also doing mainstream straight-ahead shows and also big band shows all at the same time. And the thing is, you were the common element, Lee, for the Straight Ahead shows. We had things like Westbound, your release with that. And then, of course, so much of the GRP catalog for the contemporary jazz, funk, and fusion type stuff. And then with my big band stuff, the GRP All-Star Big Bands, which some of my arrangements for some tunes come from this wonderful, I just presume it was a Dave Grusin project, but really just incredible stuff. And I thank you a lot for my history in jazz, in learning. I came at it from fusion and then straight ahead and then filled in the historical gaps. So I did it backwards.
That's nice. Whichever way works for us, right? And so many of us today have such a love for a wide spectrum of music, and that category of jazz is interesting because it really can cover so much ground, you know, and sometimes it goes off in so many directions. And those of us who love good music in general get in jazz is sometimes at the center of it. And not necessarily jazz, but all the elements that it springs from.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a great way of stating it. I couldn't have written a better close. Lee, thank you again for your time. This is beautiful. Thank you.
All right. Really nice talking to you.
That was guitarist Lee Ritenour speaking mainly about his 2024 release, Brazil. Though I couldn't resist getting that story in about Pink Floyd and Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2. There were a bunch of other cool stories in this conversation as well, but we'll have to save those for a future show. Now, before we wrap, with the KVCR Spring Membership Campaign running April 7th through the 13th, possibly the morning of the 14th, we're at the early stages. Please, each and every membership campaign, we're trying to bring in more members as well as raise money for the operating budget of this station. But this time around, there are conversations going on at the national level which could mean the elimination of some funding sources. If you've ever been on the sidelines wondering whether or not to contribute to KVCR, your public radio home, make this drive the time when you decide to step forward with your contribution. We need more listeners to come forward with a contribution to make up for those who don't give, as well as for any funds which may be diminished or even stripped away. Whether it's the news and information programming or interviews such as this, which revolve around music, you will learn something new every day. Just as I mentioned to Lee about coming into and learning about jazz with him at the center of several different types of jazz. Give a one-time gift or set up a sustaining membership with a visit to kvcrnews.org/support. Or call if that's more convenient and comfortable for you. That's why this number still exists, 877-512-8843. Again, kvcrnews.org/support or 877-512-8843. Thank you so much. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Lee Ritenour, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, Champ Chipman, and Shireen Awad. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.